Ever since Jen asked me to preach on this hymn, which happens to be one of my favorites, I was talking to my mom this past week. My mom is going to be 96 on Christmas Day. Yeah, it's amazing. She decided earlier this spring it was probably time that she moved into a retirement home. Up to this point, she was still looking after herself, cooking her own meals, still had chores to do and all the rest of it. And I asked my mom, I said, "Mom, we didn't sing that hymn in German when I was growing up." And she said, "What hymn was that?" So I told her, and she says, "Well, I'm not sure, but I'm going to check with Helen." Helen knows all about hymnology. So she was just going off to lunch, and 20 minutes after lunch, she called me, and she said, "Yes, we did sing that hymn." And I said, "Well, I don't remember singing that hymn." She says, "Well, you're getting a little older. There's things you forget." Oh, dear. Anyways, we did sing that hymn, and I don't remember singing it, but happens to be one of my favorite hymns, and it's been going through my mind since Jen asked me to preach on it. And it's brought back all kinds of memories. It's brought back emotions. It's brought back thoughts that I haven't had for a long, long time. The first thought that I had when she asked me to sing this or to speak on this hymn was the fact that Christmas Eve in our Mennonite church was a biggie. We were a congregation of probably 400 or 500 people, and with 400 or 500 people and Mennonites, you get a lot of kids. And Christmas Eve was the Sunday school concert. And we probably sang this hymn as a call to worship during that Sunday school concert, because it really is a call. It's a call to each one of us to come. Come, all you faithful. Each class had to do something on that Christmas Eve, and the service quite often went for 2 hours. So I'm aware of the time, so just be aware that I'm used to a little longer service, which you might appreciate or not appreciate so much this morning. But God calls every one of us to come into His presence. He called the shepherds. He called the wise men. He called those in the city of Bethlehem. And this morning I want to read the Christmas story. It's found in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you have your app on the on your phone, you can certainly follow along with me. It's Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. These are probably the most important words you're going to hear this morning. God's word speaking to us. And when God speaks to us, He also speaks to us individually. So when we come to this passage of Scripture, there's two verses that I want you to pay particular attention to. It's in verse 15 where it says, "The angel," or the shepherds, "said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" So they're calling one another to come. And then the last one that I want to focus on is verse 17. "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child." And verse 20, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." It's significant to realize that if you have an encounter with Jesus, you need to make a decision. You can't get away from it. Because that decision you will make has eternal implications and ramifications for you as an individual. And regardless of whether you decide yea or nay for Jesus, you will never, ever be the same again. Think about that. this Christmas season, we all have are all given the opportunity to come afresh and anew into the presence of Jesus Christ and allow His Spirit to wash over us and to equip us for the year ahead. So let's read the Christmas story. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And from that point on, the world would never, ever be the same again. And Luke records it in a simple few words. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. That's it. That's his account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that point on, the world would never, ever be the same again. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." First verse. You see, when we have an encounter with Jesus, we need to make a decision. And here the shepherd said, "Let's go check it out. Let's go check it out and see what this is all about. We've obviously had an encounter with God. Now we need to follow up." And the same has been the truth for each one of us who have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Someone has introduced us to Jesus. We heard that great testimony from Kevin Mass just a few moments ago about the guy who gave his heart and his life to Christ. That did not happen in a vacuum. Someone introduced him to Jesus, and he followed up. We had a previous pastor that always said one of the phrases that he loved to use was, "We've got to do our homework. We've got to do our homework. We've got to check it out." Because that decision that we are going to, are caused to make, and we will, the moment we come to Jesus and have an encounter with Him, we make a decision, either yea or nay. And so we check it out. We do our homework. And so the shepherd said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Amazed at what the shepherd said to them. You see, this is good news, folks. Christmas is good news. It's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into a dark world, shining forth. And saying, "I am here because I'm here to rescue you from the sin that you find yourself in." See, Jesus came to die that we might truly live. And nothing has changed in the past 2,000 plus years. It's still the same. When we come to an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, we make a decision, either yea or nay. And Jesus calls us and He says, "Come, oh come to me." How far did I get? 19? Oh, yes. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just as they had been told. You see, God in His power will never lead us astray. When He says something, He means it. When He says something, He means it. And when He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us, He meant it. He died for me. He died for you. He died for all of mankind, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the news of Christmas. That through this baby, something miraculous has happened. You see, in all the world's religions, man tries to reach God through good works, through philosophy, through all that other stuff that we consider to be good. But in Christianity, God reaches us. He comes down to us. And He says, all those righteous acts that you do, they're in My sight because I am so holy, they are like filthy rags. But I have come that you might be in relationship with Me. That's good news. And there's nothing we can add to what Jesus Christ has already done for us. He's accomplished it. The victory has been won. You see, we come to Christ joyfully and triumphantly because Scripture says, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, just as it has been told in Scripture. One of the great hymns, it's not really a hymn, I guess, one of the great Christmas songs that I really appreciate is Mary, Did You Know? You know that one, right? Wonderful, wonderful song. Written by, what's the guy's name? Mark Laurie, right. Okay? And he does it better than I think anyone. But this past week, I found it on YouTube. Now, don't laugh. It was done by Kenny Rogers and Winona Judd in duet. And if you want to be blessed, look it up. It's beautiful. They do a wonderful job at singing that song. Mary, did you know? Did you know that that baby boy has come to make you new? That that child you delivered will soon deliver you. He came for all of us. And He wants us to come to Him. And He wants us to come to Him so that He can restore in us everything that sin has destroyed. And He's capable of doing that. Kevin reminded us of that just a few moments ago when he was talking about the addict, the alcoholic, who needed to have his brain rewired, starting to think differently, starting to act differently, starting to function differently. And I love it when Kevin said, I don't know how it works, but God does. And that's all that is important. God can renew and restore us into the people that He wants us to be, that we might enjoy the fullness of life. I love the verse in Joel 2:25 where it says, and I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. It's never too late to come to God. Because God wants the best for us. Now you look in your own heart and think for a moment. As I look into mine, there's a lot that needs to be restored. And sometimes we are overwhelmed by what lurks deep within us. And yet God says, I will make your heart new. I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. Come to me. Come to me. Oh, come, all ye faithful. When we look at that word faithful, it's interesting that when I looked at it this past week, I did not look so much to my faithfulness, because there has been so many times in my life that I have not been faithful to God, that I have gone my own way. And yet here, the hymn calls us that we are the faithful. And yet I think the emphasis should be on God's faithfulness to us. He is faithful to us always. We as believers in Jesus Christ are blessed by His faithfulness on a daily, daily basis. Daily basis. God remains faithful to us. Who helped you get up this morning? My dog helped me to get up this morning. It's 5:45. But who gave me the strength? God did. Who gave you the strength to clean off your car or your pickup this morning and get here on time? God did. Because He remains faithful to us. Isn't that amazing? I find it amazing. And Jen always reminds us that God is faithful always. Always. There isn't a thing you can do. Hear me. There isn't a thing that you can do to separate yourself from God's love for you. It's impossible. God loves you. He cherishes you. You are special to Him. Don't look to the person beside you. Look to your own heart. He loves you. Knowing some of you, I don't know how that's possible. Lord, forgive me for that one. But the truth is, He does. He does. For God so loved Henry, for God so loved Bill, for God so loved Sam, that He gave. And He calls us to come and experience His faithfulness that knows no end. I never grow tired of hearing the words from 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to 24, where it says, May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. Now there's a word. You see, God always sees us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, free of condemnation. He sees us as pure and holy and in Christ. That's why He sees us as blameless. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The one who calls you to come is faithful. And it doesn't end there. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will what? Do it. He will do it. We are totally dependent upon God's faithfulness to us. We are blessed by His faithfulness. And praise God that we can depend on that. Oh, come, all you faithful. joyful and triumphant. Jesus is speaking in John 15, verse 11, and he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be what? Complete or full. Yeah. How's your Christmas shopping coming? Complete? Good. Mine's done. I did it all online this week. Came in the mailbox. All done. How's your baking? Your house cleaning? Your snow shoveling? Your preparations? You know, we get so busy and so wrapped up in the Christmas stuff. We think we have to do that we miss the joy of the miracle of Christmas. We miss the victory that is won for us at Christmas. I challenge you this week, or in the week coming up to Christmas, to turn off the TV. Put your baking aside. Forget about housework. Find a quiet place. Put on some lovely Christmas carols. And sit. And do nothing. But listen. For at least half an hour. 30 minutes. I'm not a prophet, but I bet you your life is going to be transformed during those 30 minutes. As you focus in on what Christmas is really about. One of the best Christmases I ever had was years ago when I was sick in bed and I couldn't do anything. Had all kinds of eye problems, had some eye surgery done, and they wanted me to be quiet and not do anything. And this was in the middle of the Christmas season and me a pastor. It was a wonderful time of year. And you know what? Life went on. People celebrated without me. And I felt during that time, when I could do nothing and had to be still and know that He is God, I felt what Christmas was all about. And you can have that this year. Come, ye faithful ones, and experience the faithfulness of God and experience His joy and the triumph that He has given to us. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to the words of Isaiah. For unto us, for unto me, for unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these moments when we've been able to just stop in the busyness of life, focus in on your word and appreciate what you have done for us. May we not get lost this year in the stuff that we think we have to accomplish so that everything is right for Christmas. But may we revel in the fact that you came when everything was wrong. And you came to set things right. So bless us and encourage us to that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. The prayer rails are open. If you have a need, if you have a praise or thanksgiving, if God has spoken to you through his ministry with us here this morning and want to thank him, this is the time to do it. God is good. He is faithful always, and he's calling us to come and give him the praise and the glory, just as the shepherds did. Amen.